We have been moving to the conclusion over the course of these shows, 3 years now, that only by acknowledging the existence of hidden power and the fact that it hides in the appearance of happenstance. And it does this in three ways. That these power guys have a vision, are very organized, and so move steadily toward the achievement of that vision by planning and implementing clandestinely. That they make their moves with a global view while restricting ours to the neighborhood or nation. And using Marcuse's language, by means of the democratic introjection, i.e. by conditioning us, we the people, to disown our authentic selves. And we've been giving thanks for Alice Miller's work, For Your Own Good in particular, but also Prisoners of Childhood, for explaining how that happens. We have been moving to the conclusion that only by acknowledging the existence of hidden power, and we tended to focus on the professional left, the pundits, could our analysis, we concluded, and so our strategy, be set on the right path towards achieving global human freedom, defined as universal leisure, freedom from necessity, based in individual self-sufficiency and global mutual aid. We could call this perhaps the mental route, but is there a body route? Two routes that meet in the middle. To say that our new world that comes from broad conscious invention of, by, and for the people must be premised on individual self-sufficiency and global mutual aid requires a closer look at these terms, individual self-sufficiency and global mutual aid, along with the other terms that have been coming up and that we've been exploring, authentic leadership and dissolution of rigid institutions. And a useful place to begin exploring these notions might be with this question: can there be individual self-sufficiency truly without the soul's sufficiency? In the sense Emily Dickinson meant when she said that the soul selects her own society, or Walt Whitman in saying that the soul follows its questions, possesses its own integrity. Here is the efflux of the soul. The efflux of the soul comes from within through embowered gates, ever-provoking questions. These yearnings, why are they? These thoughts in the darkness, why are they? Why are there men and women that while they are nigh me, the sunlight expands my blood? Why, when they leave me, do my pennants of joy sink flat and lank? What gives me to be free to a woman's and man's goodwill? What gives them to be free to mine? The efflux of the soul is happiness. Here is happiness. I think it pervades the open air, waiting at all times. Now it flows unto us. We are rightly charged.